Well, good morning. Happy Easter to you all. Great to see you this morning. We had a really good time at the sunrise service. We even had Teddy Roosevelt join us. That was nice. Actually, technically, only half of him was there, but had a great time. And thank you, Pastor Tim and your team, for the breakfast. I hope you had a chance to have some good food this morning, and appreciate that very, very much. If you are interested, we would like to be able to give you a gift. If you are interested in a CD on the Jesus film or one aimed specifically for children, we'd love to be able to give you one of those. You can see Lynn Wise or anyone on the mission team. We'll be happy to get those to you, and we'll love to be able to give that to you. Just thinking about Easter a little bit, you know, it's such a great day. I'm thinking, well, what's at the core? It's hope. It's hope. You know, sometimes I think we give the impression that the Christian message is about, hey, we live a little bit better lives than the rest of you. But the truth of the matter is, it's a message of hope. We tie into hope. Hope in the future. But you know, we use that word a lot too, and we think, well, hope, you know, I hope it doesn't rain, or, I hope my friend will show up. But that's sort of a wishful thinking. When the Bible talks about hope, it talks about in terms of certainty. You can be absolutely certain. Now, the passage that Tim read for us, Pastor Tim, just a few minutes ago, in Matthew 28, you know, if you look at the book of Matthew, there have been 27 chapters just chock full of Jesus Christ, his birth, his life, ministry, healing, teaching. And then the opposition begins to grow stronger and stronger. Matthew records that he was hung on a cross, crucified, died, buried. But chapter 28 and all the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, the last chapter, give the message of resurrection. But I don't know if you noticed, as Pastor Tim was reading that the angel would say, and they kept going over in their mind, you know, he is not here. He is risen. Oh, he's risen, but he's not here. Oh, let me show you where he was laying. He was laying here, but he's not here. I'm wondering if you're thinking this morning, man, you know, it would be great. This risen Jesus, I'd really like to encounter him. I'd really like to meet him. He's not here. How do I meet Jesus if he's not here? And you say, well, you know, Tom, did you read your Bible? He is in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Yes, absolutely ascended. He's the risen, reigning Christ. His Holy Spirit lives amongst us. But is it possible to meet him and experience him? And here's what I thought we could do this morning. If you have your Bible, we're gonna actually rewind the tape a little bit, go backward just a little bit, and we're going to go back to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14. And I want to look at the story of Jesus walking on the water. But I want to look at that with you this morning as we see him with resurrection eyes. He is the risen Christ. But because he's alive, we can know him. And this Jesus, I want you to see that with me this morning in Matthew chapter 14. Just two simple little lessons here. A lesson about Jesus and a lesson about faith. A lesson about Jesus and a lesson about faith. And be able to see in the scriptures, see the risen Christ as you can relate to him, because he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He is the Lord. So if you have your Bible there in Matthew chapter 14, I'm just going to walk it through with you. If you want to keep your eyes in your Bible, we'll walk through, and I want to help you see a lesson about Jesus and a lesson about faith. And the first thing you're going to see there in chapter 14, verse 22, you're going to see that Jesus is dismissing the crowd. He had just fed the 5,000 plus the women and the children. Amazing miracle. And he's dismissing the crowd. Thank you, thank you. And then he puts his boys, the disciples, on the boat. He says, in the boat, guys, over to the other side. I'll see you in a little bit. Get to the other side. I'll meet you there. So they get into the boat. Jesus is always purposeful. He has never, ever in the gospel, what should I do? Oh, I know. We'll dismiss these folks and we'll put the disciples on the boat. Yeah, that's it. That'll work. No. He is teaching, always teaching. There's going to be a tremendous lessons they're going to learn, and they have no idea what's coming. They get into that boat, and Jesus is going to teach them. Teach them. See, Jesus, he's Hebrew, not Greek. Greek people are very philosophical and like great, you know, knowledge and ideas. They love ideas. But Hebrew thinking is always this. You never really learn something until it's part of your life. So if that's the case, how much have I really learned in following Jesus? The answer is, how much, Tom, are you really, truly applying and following that? So Jesus knows that, and he wants them to experience. He wants them to learn to trust him, right? But he never brings out the old whiteboard like I would, you know, and get the marker, and okay, here's the lesson. Okay, we got the lesson. No, he puts them into life, into life. If you came here this morning wondering, you know, I wonder what God is really doing in my life. What's he really doing? Well, one thing I can tell you for sure is he is trying to teach you and teach me something. Always. Always teaching, always growing us. And the key is pay attention. Pay attention to what he's doing. And his classroom is very different than what we would think. Our classroom would be, you know, a whiteboard or maybe some PowerPoints. There's the lesson. He's going to teach them something in life that will bring them into contact with him that will be life transforming. That's what he's always about. So he puts them on the boat, and he knows they're going to learn something, and he goes up to the mountain. You'll see this in verse 23. He's in prayer. They're on the boat, and the rain comes, the storm comes. It comes over the hill, over the hill there in Galilee, Sea of Galilee, and they're in the just terrible storm, wind, waves. They're out there far from land. And Jesus is up in the mountain, and he's in prayer. Again, this is the risen Christ, and he will be the risen Christ. But for us right now, it's what I'm trying to do is help you see as you look backwards. This is who your Jesus is. He's a teacher, but he always is in contact with his Father. He does things on purpose. He's prayerful. He's the sent one. He's the Messiah. And as he's spending time in prayer is not so much, you know, trying to arm wrestle God and try to get him to do something that, you know, trying to talk him into something he doesn't really want to do. Prayer has a lot more to do with, Lord, just want your will. Not as I will, but as you will. Jesus models that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here, long before that he's praying, he prays it all the way through, always in prayer, praying, as his disciples go straight smack into this storm. As you think about storms a little bit, isn't that really a metaphor of life? Life is full of sunshine. It's a great day in Iowa today, beautiful Easter day morning. But, man, we've had lots of storms, haven't we? More storms coming. And life is full of sunshine, and life is also full of storms. And it's in those storms that we learn things. I overheard a conversation this week, a lady visiting our church and visiting Gudla, and she said, you know, I've learned way more about the Lord through the hard times I've been through than have through all the good times. I thought to myself, that is spot on. That's very, very good. This August, Julie and I will have been married 33 years. 33 years. The Lord gave me such a beautiful, wonderful wife. And I learned so much from her. But I've learned in the last 5 years for sure, 10 years, a lot more about Julie and a lot more about marriage and a lot more about the Lord's faithfulness and what it means to be a husband in her illness than in the sunshine. And those storms have really shaped us. I hope shaping me. Just talking with her yesterday, and she was outlining a lot of the difficulty that she's experienced with health. And sometimes, you know, as a husband, you just want to help, and not much you can do. Pray, of course. But she said something I have rarely heard any human say. She talked about those things that she's been through. But she said, and the Lord has brought me to a relationship and an intimacy with Him through the suffering that I would have never known otherwise, and I wouldn't trade. Wow. I'm stunned to see the Lord at work in my wife. What a godly woman. Is. But how are your storms? You say, which one you talking about, Pastor? Right? Well, what will be your number one burden? Again, this is Easter morning. He's risen. We're going back into his life, seeing a story in his life. See the risen Christ. Which one would be the biggest burden that you'd have? And look how the disciples respond in this storm. Look how what the early lesson is here. You see in verse 24, they're afraid, and they're afraid of the weather. Now, these guys have been out in that weather many times. So this must have been a bad storm. But if you look at verse 26, not only are they afraid of storms, they're afraid of God. He comes to them walking on the water. Jesus comes walking to them at 3 in the morning. They're out there rowing and just trying to keep the boat from turning upside down. He comes walking on the water, and they think it's a ghost. They're really freaking out. The weather and now the ghost. Lessons about Jesus. But here comes the lesson. Look at verse 27. Three little statements there. The King James, it says, Jesus speaks to them loudly in that storm, right? Be of good cheer. Take heart. Be of good cheer. Then your Bible will say this, right? It is I. Do not be afraid. But it is I is slightly misleading. Because in English it's three words, but in the Greek it's two. I am. That's what it literally says. Be of good cheer. I am. Can you hear his voice? The rain is coming down. You're in that boat. I am. Now that echoes, doesn't it? That echoes way back in the Old Testament. Oh, yeah, they can hear the Lord speaking to Moses. I am that I am. This is a clear statement of deity. This is God in the flesh on that water in the midst of their storm. And the storm is freaking them out. They think they're seeing ghosts. And the Lord says, and he says to you, the risen Christ says to you and to me, be of good cheer. I am. I am. He is with you, friend. If you've Name the name of Jesus. He is with you all the time. All the time. You can say, good morning, Lord. You can say, good afternoon, Lord. You can say, good night, Lord. But you never have to say, goodbye, Lord. Never. But everyone in your life, everyone, we've all learned this. We say hello, and we say goodbye. Because you can never travel this entire life with that person or any person all the time. We say goodbye. We move on. And in fact, we move on from this life and we say a final goodbye. But not with Jesus. I am. Not I was. I might be. I will be. I am. The lesson, though, of the risen Christ, the lesson of Jesus is he is always, always with you. He went to the cross, shed his blood on the cross for your sins, rose again. You can have a personal relationship with Jesus, and he speaks to you, I am. I am. Notice he doesn't remove the storm. Get rid of the storm. He meets them in the storm. Reminds me a lot of Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three fellas who met Jesus in the fire. They were thrown into the fire because they wouldn't worship the king and the king's statue. The fire was so hot that those who even started the fire, those flames took them out. And Jesus, the Lord, met them, and the Lord meets you. Whatever your storm is, the Lord meets you in that storm. In that storm. You say, well, that's nice, Tom. I appreciate that, but how do I find him? How do I find him? Look again at verse 27. Verse 27, and he spoke to them, be of good cheer. I am. Be not afraid. Jeremiah said, your words were found, and I did eat them. And your words became to me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. It's through the word of God. You're looking to see Jesus with your naked eye. You will not see him, except you'll see him in his people. But you'll find Jesus in his word. You'll find him right there in Matthew chapter 14. This is the Jesus that has been proclaimed from this pulpit for 150 years. Same Jesus, the Jesus of the scripture. The Spirit of God loves Jesus. He loves to take the things of Christ and make them known to you. And that's so beautiful that no matter where you're at, he can take the things of the Lord and make them real, the Spirit of God, make them real in your heart. Make it meaningful to you. Well, how do I begin? Where can I get a start here? I'd recommend picking up one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or the Jesus film. This is the life of Jesus from the Gospel of Luke. The only thing recorded that Jesus says in this film is right straight from the Gospel of Luke. It's tremendous. As you get into the Word of God, let the Scripture speak to you, introduce you to who he is. This is the risen Jesus. He walks on water. And it calls for worship. You see the very last verse there, verse 33? They fell down and worshiped him. You are the Son of God. They saw who he was. The Lord revealed that. That's a lesson of who Jesus is. Let me quickly just share, secondly, a lesson about faith. A lesson about faith. You notice the order, if you still have your Bible open there, verse 25, Jesus came to them. Jesus came to the disciples walking on the water. But if you look at verse 29, Peter is walking on the water to Jesus. First Jesus comes to them, and then Peter comes to Jesus. Peter walks on water. What? Peter walked on water. And both Jesus walking and Peter walking is supernatural. The It's a supernatural work of the Lord. No human being can walk on water. What, do you think you walk on water? No. Jesus walks on water. And one of his followers walked on water. And that was a deepening of faith. You see, he wants to cultivate that friendship with you and with me. He wants you to know him. He comes to you. He speaks to you. I am. He speaks truth into your heart, but he doesn't want to leave you there immediately. He wants to grow us. He wants us to grow, and the storm works for that too. So here's what faith is all about. Faith is not doing things that you can do. No. Faith isn't doing things that you can do. Faith is doing things that you cannot do. I'm trying to be a dad. I'm trying to be a mom. I'm trying to follow Christ. It just seems like it's over my head. Faith is doing what you cannot do. That you cannot. See, because it's a matter of trust in the Lord to help you do that. Peter walks on water. Peter walked on water. When I was in Bulgaria this last November, driving to the conference, I was with my friend Ralph and his wife Bonnie, and in the car too was a medical doctor named Kirill, Dr. Kirill. And we were driving through the countryside. We came over this hill and came down into kind of like a small little village, and all of a sudden we saw this, like, it looked like a parking lot, but it was in grassy fields and dirt, just sort of a rural look to it, but cars everywhere. And I found out, those are used car lots. Those are used car lots. So then Ralph says to Kirill, we're riding in a Honda, and he says, tell me, Kirill, why is it that you flew from Bulgaria to Germany to buy this car and then drive it all the way back here to Bulgaria? Why? There's plenty of cars here. Why would you fly all the way to Germany to get your car and drive it back? And Kirill said this, a matter of trust. Oh. He could not bring himself to trust that any of those vehicles would be worth whatever they're selling. He couldn't put his trust there. And there's a lot of things in your life that aren't worth your trust at all. But Peter is showing you and I, he's showing you that when you look to Jesus, when he looked to Jesus, he walked on the water. He walked on the water. In fact, it started this way. Peter, you love this guy. Peter sees Jesus walking the water. He goes, I want to do that. I'd like to do that. Hey, Jesus, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Come. Now, that was a command. The commands of Jesus, got to catch this now, the commands of Jesus are different than your and I kind of commands. I mean, let's say, some of us decide, hey, let's move the clock forward a little bit. It's July. We decide, we want to go to the municipal pool over here. And I think between noon and 1, it's adult swimming. So we get over there, and I stand at one end, and some of you are on the other, and I go, walk on the water, come, right? And we all try. That wouldn't happen, would it? There's no power in my command to transform a person's life to that extent. No one can do that. No one can command someone to walk on the water. But you got to see this here. This is very important. When the Lord commands things, there's power in his words itself. The Spirit of God enables that person. If you and I will take him serious and obey that, God goes to work. There's power in the commands. Dick Dowsett, the English preacher, used to say, as he just before he would preach, he would say something like this: "Now, if you see it in God's word, obey it." Because he said there's no risk in that, because God always underwrites his word with his power. So you see something in here, you're reading, you're learning, you're growing, and you're going to put that into practice. There's no risk in that, because as you put truth into practice, the Lord will underwrite his word with his power. And I just continually am amazed at how simple the word of God really, truly is, and how simple the Christian life really is. And it has to do with what you're looking at. You see, as Peter, he steps out, you know, he doesn't have one leg in, and whoa, I don't know. You know, you're not going to put your foot on the water and see if it can hold you up. He literally got out and walked to Jesus, right? So as he begins to do that, he keeps his eyes, very important, you see that in those verses there. He sees Jesus, and as he sees the Lord, he can walk. All of a sudden, splash, and splash. I said, whoa. You know, I thought, what am I doing? No one can do it. And as he starts to think realistically, he goes, starts to sink. He starts to sink. Seeing Jesus, he walked on water. Seeing the wind, it says, he sank. See, all of us here, all of us come to what I would consider a ridiculous T-junction. A T-junction you come to this T-junction or, you know, a fork in the road, and it says, ridiculous. Ridiculous. And even as I'm speaking today, and you're listening to what I'm saying, maybe there's a voice going off in your head, of course no one can walk on water. Of course the wind and the rain and the storm is bigger than I am. Of course that's true. Anybody trying to walk on water, of course you're going to sink. It's ridiculous to believe the Bible. And by the way, just so you don't misunderstand, when Jesus enabled Peter to walk on water, that is a picture of a transformed life. He's the only man ever, other than Jesus, to walk on water. He's not in the business of creating followers who can walk on water. He's in the business of changing people's lives so that we look like him. And that is walking on water. And on the front end, it looks very ridiculous. Ridiculous. You think about CNN and all the news people and all the things you've heard all week long. And then you just compare that what you're hearing today at First Free. And they would look at me even, they look at even a talk like this, they go, what is this guy going on about? That is ridiculous. It comes down to your choice, what you're going to believe. What am I going to believe? My friend Billy Strachan, who was a principal at Cape Verde Hall, now with the Lord, he was a Scotsman, and he liked to use the word daft. You know the word daft? The English love to use that word daft. D-A-F-T. He said, I'm a bit daft. He said, I'm a Scotsman, daft enough to believe the word of God is true. So that's what Peter's doing here. That was daft to think you could walk on water. But the Lord can change your life. You and I will believe and keep your eyes on him. It's ridiculous to think that. Oh, is it? Is it really? That's what I would say to those folks saying that. Is it really? Is it ridiculous that you can get married and stay married until death do you part? Is it really ridiculous to live a life that's pure before the Lord? Is it really that ridiculous? Is it really that ridiculous to walk with Jesus and have a relationship with him and live a life of love and kindness and forgiveness? Is that really ridiculous? Really? Because I look at your track record, I see what they're coming up with. It's a train wreck over and over Peter does sink here, doesn't he? He does sink. And how does Jesus respond to that? We'll bring this to a close here. How does Jesus respond to that? And you know, it's the way I might treat people, or the way I think the Lord might treat me is, oh, you ding dong, you know, he reaches out to him, but you know, push him down again and push him down again. You didn't learn very well, did you, Peter? You're a slow learner. No. Friend, you look the way of Jesus, he reaches out his hand and he will raise you up. And that is such a beautiful picture of the resurrection. He lifts him up, raises him up. Beautiful. The Lord saved him. But then the Lord had a little question for him. He said, Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Peter, you don't need to doubt. You walk with me, son. You walk with me. You don't need to doubt. Keep your eyes focused on me. So as we close this morning, I just want to remind you again, wherever you're at with the Lord, you came to church this morning, Easter Sunday, you want to connect with God, you want to hear from God. Look what he's saying to you in his word. Look what he's saying. I am. He is the all-sufficient one. Went to the cross, risen again, relationship with him. I am. Never to leave you. Never to forsake you. And follow him. We don't need to doubt. Keep your eyes on him. The Lord will be the sufficient one to help us do what to us seems like walking on water, which is simply growing in Christ and knowing him and making a difference in this world. This world desperately is looking for answers, and there aren't many out there, are there? There aren't many answers. And some of the answers that people come up with, it's rough, isn't it? And the addictions and the things that we can get caught up in, it just soaks us, sucks us in. And then comes the gospel, and we hear that, oh, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous? This, friend, is absolutely life-changing. Let's pray. Lord, I want to pray for each of us here, each one of us. Wherever we're at with you today, Easter Sunday 2019, help us to hear you say to us, I am, and I will never leave you. I will never forsake you in that storm. But you say, come. I want you to grow. I want you to take and step out and try something new, a new step, something fresh you haven't tried before, to grow. Take a little step. It's not ridiculous. The power of the Lord will flow in and through your life. Friend, if you don't know Jesus, he loves you. He went to the cross. He died for our sins. All you need to do is wave the white flag, come out with your hands up, and he will wash you, welcome you, cleanse you, and begin a new relationship with you. If we can help you with that, we would love to do that. God bless you. Happy Easter.